Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie, it's been warm. It's been in the 40s now, and so we're having to face up to the prospect of a brown Christmas, but we just have to deal with it, that's all. There's nothing can be done about it. That snow has melted. It's been raining here this last week. Fields are muddy. Out at the Tolleroos farm, the post evidently came loose in the fence of the pasture, and the bull got out, and he leaned against it, and it fell down, and he got out, and he slid down this muddy slope into a ditch and sprained his front left ankle. Was not otherwise damaged, and Dwayne had to go and get him out and take the front loader and cargo straps and wrestle him out of there. He called the vet to come, and the vet did. It took a long time. The bull was not cooperative, and got him finally up on flat ground. The bull was there complaining, and the vet put a cast on that left front leg. And then I don't know how this happened or why, but he found that he had an enlarged prostate as well. And so that was the reason he hadn't been very good at doing his job, and his valuable bull, and so he gave Dwayne a whole big jar of suppositories that now he's going to have to apply, and the vet showed him how, and it took the whole day just doing this thing. You fall two steps back, and it takes you all day to get back to where you were. And then he went into the Chatterbox Cafe in the next morning for coffee, and everybody knew about it. How did everybody know about it? He couldn't figure that. They couldn't talk about anything else other than suppositories. It's nothing you want to talk about when you're having your breakfast. Last Sunday was the second Sunday in Advent, and Pastor Liz preached on John the Baptist, the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill made low, and the crooked shall be made straight." She preached on this, and that it's everyone's job to carry the message. Angels cannot do the whole job. We are God's angels, and we are here to carry this message. It's not about feeling warm and comfortable. It's about doing the work that is supposed to be done if you believe what you say you believe. Congregation didn't seem all that interested in this message. She meant this as a direct hint to the men's and the women's Bible study groups in Lake Wobegon Lutheran, which have been languishing over the years. The men's Bible study group has 7 members, and they don't meet at the church anymore. They meet at Clint Bunsen's home, and she has suspicions that it's become cribbage now. They're talking about whatever over cribbage. The women's Bible study group split into 2, and one, the smaller group, is the traditional group that takes up a passage of Scripture and discusses it, and then there's the kind of free form that just takes up whatever they feel like talking about. And she stepped in on that larger group this last week, and they were talking about tattoos, and what do you say to your child if she decides to go off and get a tattoo, and do you try to talk her out of it, or is this only going to encourage her further? And one woman had a story to tell about how her daughter got this enormous tattoo on her back of flames all the way up to the back of her neck, so she had to wear turtlenecks from then on as she finished college, and she got a master's degree in education, but she could not get a job due to the word duh, D-U-H, across her forehead. Not in enormous type, but still large enough to be readable, duh, up on her forehead. One of those things you do late at night and alcohol is involved, and then you repent of this at leisure. And so she could not get a job any better than a short order cook, though she had a master's degree in education. So she had to go get this thing lasered off. And she called up her mother and said, could I borrow $5,000? That's how much it's going to cost to get this duh taken off her forehead. What do you do in this case? Do you pay for this? Do you insist that she learn the lesson herself? What do you do? This was Bible study. Pastor Liz watched from a doorway. She was sort of astonished. This was Tuesday night. This was the night of their potluck supper and their white elephant exchange. This is a unique institution in Lake Wobegon. Not the potluck, that happens all the time, but so they brought out these hot dishes, a whole parade of hot dishes, most involving noodles and also the you know, some rice dishes for people who want to be strange. And and then they brought out the white elephant gifts. Each is wrapped, nicely wrapped, and each is something ugly or useless that somebody else has gotten, and you wrap it up nicely, and then you have a drawing, and people choose. And the thing is that you have to open this white elephant gift, and you have to make a fuss over it, and how much you admire it, and so forth, even though you're thinking about who else you could give this to. And so there it is, and there's the Jesse Ventura bobblehead, and there's the the mold in the form of a moose that you can make chocolate mousse in, and if that's interesting to you, and the playing cards with the apostles on the face. Paul is the ace, and Peter is the king, and John is the queen, and Judas is the jack, of course, and so forth. They opened all of these, and then it was time to eat, and they looked around for Pastor Liz. Everybody was talking. They were talking and chattering, and the way you get Lutherans to shut up, she just stood up, and she said, "The Lord be with you," and pew. And reflexively, they say, "And also with you." You don't need a ding on a glass or anything, and then she said a prayer, hoping that the Lord would bless the women's study group and make their studies fruitful. She used the word fruitful. Though it's sad that even in mainline churches, there are people growing up who wouldn't know the parable of the vineyard, who've never read the prophets Obadiah and Hosea and Amos, who there are children who don't know where Proverbs is, or Ecclesiastes. They can't find it in their own Bible that was given to them by their grandparents and that still looks fresh and new. Pastor Liz does not know what to do about that, but she sat there not wanting to preach. She had some hot dish, and they talked, and they talked. They talked about Darlene, mostly. Darlene down at the Chatterbox Cafe. There's been this man who's been coming around. He's a pharmacist, and his name is Nelson Tollefson, and he wants to reopen Dave's Drugs, which is down next to the Mercantile on Main Street, which has been closed now for years and years, and he's talking about reopening that. And it's so clear that he was interested in Darlene, and Darlene was interested in him, the waitress at the Chatterbox. They were very sweet on each other. He took all of his meals at the Chatterbox, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Nice-looking man with black hair with streaks of gray, and he wore nice jeans and a flannel plaid shirt, what you might call lumbersexual, and and he liked her, and they had things in common. He loved bacon. He liked bacon with every meal, and he liked it crisp and not floppy. And Darlene likes bacon as well. You know, you can build a relationship on these things. She used to take her coffee with cream, but now she doesn't anymore because he takes it black. They had these things in common. He worked the crossword puzzle every morning. And the two times that he turned to her and asked her if she had any idea what this clue might mean, she knew the word. The last time it was the word peripheral. The clue was not in but not far, peripheral. And that was the key that opened up the whole puzzle. Once he got peripheral, everything else just went ding, 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 ding. And he got the whole thing. And for her, the thought that something peripheral could be the key to something was very interesting. Now she's thought a lot. She's thought a lot. He was saying that he had been a long time since he had a good prime rib dinner. And she said, they have a prime rib special at the Moonlight Bay Supper Club every Friday night. Oh, he said, and waited a few seconds. And then he said, would you like to go? And yes, she would. She's thought a lot about this. She wants to buy the Chatterbox Cafe when Dorothy is ready to retire. And she has all sorts of ideas what she would like to do with it. People are not interested in the hot beef sandwich anymore. She wants to do more salads and do lighter things and not these big, heavy meals. People are over that. They've been over that for a long time. She can imagine that he would buy the drugstore. She would have the Chatterbox. And they could merge them. They could become one. She's thought a lot about that. He's not so interested in that, she can tell. He likes her, but he doesn't want to be pinned down. He doesn't want to be cornered, which if you are going out with somebody in a small town, you always are. Even now, people see him on the street and they say, well, how's Darlene? As if he knew. This makes him uneasy. They went out to the Moonlight Bay for the prime rib special and they were talking. He was talking a little bit too much about his ex-wife. Darlene was not interested in that. She wanted to talk about the future and she tried to bring the topic to the future. And then he took a big bite of steak and he started to cough. He started to cough and he stood up and he put his hand over his mouth. She said, are you all right? And he didn't say anything. Well, she's taken first aid and she studied the Heimlich maneuver, and this seemed to be a classic Heimlich situation where you're standing up, your hand is up to your mouth and you can't speak. And she was over that table. She was vaulted over that table. And she grabbed hold of him and she turned him around. He got away momentarily and he broke loose and he tipped over somebody's table and water went hither and yon and he tried to make it to the door and she grabbed hold of him and she folded him right over her arm and she got her hands into the Heimlich position. And just as he said, I'm okay, she gave him the Heimlich and the whole dinner came up. The whole dinner came up. He started to run for the door. He ran for the door. She said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought, and he out the door, he bolted and he dashed for his pickup. And he got in his pickup. She was running behind him. She was in high heels, so it was slow going. And he got the pickup started and he backed her up and she ran up to the door and she knocked on his window, but he would not roll the window down. And he pulled away and he took off and he's not been seen ever since. I was not there. But people say that when she got hold of him the second time, she just folded that man over her arms. She took hold of that man like a dog catches a rabbit, like a mongoose catches a cobra. That man was putty in her hands, and that was what scared him off was her strength, how strong She was, and people say, you know, if that was what scared him off, then better he should leave, because this is Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, and all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.